We turn in God's Word tonight to 1 Timothy 6. This is the Word of God. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Thus far we read God's Word. The text tonight is verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You young men who confess your faith tonight, I'm sure it's true that your mothers, and fathers for that matter, taught you not to fight. That's probably true of just about everyone sitting here tonight, that we've had parents who taught us not to fight. Don't fight with them. Don't fight with your brother. Don't fight with your sister. Don't fight with your friends. Don't fight with the neighbors. And that instruction was good instruction. The Word of God that we consider tonight does not go contrary to that teaching of good godly mothers and fathers in the home. But there is a good fight. There's a noble fight. There's an excellent fight. in which we are to fight and to battle. Of course, this is not physical, but spiritual. What we have before us is an exhortation to fight the good fight, the noble fight, the excellent fight of faith. In fact, what the text is saying is that we are to view the Christian life from this perspective. There's a constant battle going on. We all experience that as we live in this world. The young men who confess their faith tonight, they experience that more and more now as they've graduated from high school, in college, seeking a job. There's more contact with the world. That fight and that battle increases when that's the case. But tonight what we ought to see is that this Word of God is especially directed to the men of the church and to young men. Because the Apostle Paul is writing these words to Timothy, who is a young pastor in the church. And Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him in his work in Ephesus, because there were those who were teaching heresy there in the church, and he needed encouragement as a young, impressionable minister. But it's not just a word for a young minister. This is a word from a man of God to a man of God. And so it's a word of God tonight that applies to the men of the church and to the young men of the church especially. For there are many hardships, there are many temptations for men in the church. Part of what we want to see tonight is what it means to be a man. To be a man in the church of Jesus Christ today. The text calls young men and all the men of the church to fight this good fight of faith. The church needs such men who will take up this battle. It's a battle that follows after confession of faith. It doesn't begin there, but it continues. It follows after that. We find in the text itself that Paul is pointing Timothy back to his profession of faith. When he made a confession on Paul's missionary journeys and he was converted under the ministry and work of Paul to the gospel of grace, and he made a good confession before many witnesses, Paul points Timothy back to that confession of faith. And he says, now continue to live out of that confession. We've heard tonight a good profession before many witnesses. A confession really in content that was very similar to what Timothy professed at his profession of faith. We've heard the same confession of the truth of God's Word. And now the calling that comes in the passage to those who confess their faith is, now live that confession in your life. This is not something to put off until you're older. Until you consider yourself more mature. This is part of the calling of young men in the church. That they are to give themselves in this good fight of faith. It's part of the responsibility you have as a confessing member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the reality is this. If young men won't fight now, they may not be fighting in the future either. Except by the grace of God that changes them and changes their lives. We need in the church today young men who are committed to this fight. Men who aren't waiting, but men right now who are committed, who are strong in the power of God and the power of His grace to fight this good fight of faith. With conviction, but also with the assurance that God will bless and that God will give strength. So we consider tonight, fight the good fight of faith. That's our theme. We look at this under 2 points. The first is basically the idea of this fight, the fleeing and pursuing that are part of it. And then secondly, we look at the powerful encouragement that is found in the text for men in the church especially, but really for all of the church to be fighting this good fight of faith. We're going to see in the text tonight that fighting this good fight of faith means two things. It means fleeing and it means pursuing. But before we look at those two elements of this fight, we should understand something about the fight itself. The text is telling us that as the people of God, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we are engaged in this good fight in the world. This fight is not fought with knuckles, with knives, with guns, with bombs, or anything like that. It's not a physical fight, but instead it's a spiritual fight. The Apostle Paul is using here the figure of boxing or wrestling to teach us about the Christian life. We know that the Apostle Paul used at times in his epistles different imagery out of the world of athletics at that day. Just a little while ago, as a congregation, we considered that figure of running a race. Paul used that often in his epistles, running a race. Now there's another figure taken out of the athletic world of that day, fighting. What would happen in the stadiums of that day where there would be wrestling matches or boxing matches, where athletes who train for such fights, for such matches, they would expend themselves to win that boxing or wrestling contest. Sometimes they would fight to the bloody end. Now the Apostle Paul is not putting his stamp of approval upon such fighting, but he's using that as a figure or as a picture for the Christian life. In contrast to that fighting, he says there is this good fight, this noble, this excellent fight. You could even say by implication, that fighting was not good. And Paul is not at all putting his stamp of approval on it. And we ought not in our day either, with boxing matches and MMA, mixed martial arts, and all the other things that go on where people love to see blood and hurt and gore and all of the rest. Well, there's something we can learn from that. There's a good fight that we are engaged in. And this good fight is the good fight of faith. That tells us that it's a spiritual fight and a spiritual battle. In this contest, there are spiritual enemies who attack the church and the gospel and who attack each one of us as the people of God personally. But it's a fight of faith. What does that mean exactly? Well, faith is that which in which a man puts his trust. That's the essence of this battle. In what do we place our trust? That's something that Paul is addressing here in this entire chapter, in 1 Timothy 6. He addresses the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And then notice what he says after that, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. He's talking about faith there. And what happens is that when there is the love of money that takes over a man's heart, that money becomes his God. And he places his trust in that money. He addresses that later on in the chapter as well. That's a temptation for the rich man, that he places his trust in money. And that tells us something about this fight in which we are engaged. What is it that you trust in? Who is it that you worship? There are the things of this world. There's money. There's self. The ability of man that he thinks that he has to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. Or there's what we heard tonight from these young men who confess their faith in God and in Jesus Christ. And what they were saying is, we trust in God alone for all that we need. We trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. And so you see, when there's this good fight of faith, it has to do with what is it that you worship and in whom do you place your trust? Who or what is our God? as those who are engaged in this good fight of faith, our confession is, Jehovah, the Lord, He is our God, and we believe in Jesus Christ. But now there's an enemy. The enemy does not know God. The enemy does not trust in God. And the goal of the enemy in this fight is to drive the members of the church from the truth and from the church with all the things of this world. With money, possessions, and evil living. We understand that the enemy is this world and that Satan is behind the world. And from this enemy we receive blow after blow and punch after punch. And the enemy does not give up. The enemy does not back up. Those who have been involved in athletics know what that is like. Because probably anybody here who's been involved in athletics has played against superior competition. A team maybe that's faster and stronger and smarter and seems to know every weakness of your team and exploits that every weakness. We know that in competition. That's the type of enemy we face. The enemy seems stronger, quicker, better, more skilled, smarter, and he knows our every weakness. And he uses that against us. Now, as men, we have to understand that. As men in particular, we must understand that the goal of the enemy is to allure us so that we would turn from the truth and from the church. And Satan knows how to allure men with sexual lust, sports, money and possessions, so that slowly, with these things or many others that we enjoy and like, that we'd set our hearts and our minds more and more on these things and think less and less about God and His truth. And His desire is that we would, at the end, after we receive punch after punch and blow after blow, that we would wave the white flag and just give up and follow in that way of sin. The enemy wants to subtly take hold of our hearts and our lives so that we sign ourselves off to the power of sin and sell our souls to the devil, one little sin at a time. That's the way that the enemy works, beginning when men are even boys and they become young men and think that they can have some fun and experiment and try some things. Understand this as well about the battle. It's a long and wearisome battle. It's not you get a certain age and the battle's over. It's throughout the whole of your lives. For the young men who confess their faith tonight, this battle's not brand new for them. It's not the battle begins today or the battle began a few weeks ago when they confessed their faith before the elders. No, they know this battle. We all know this battle. Wherever we're at in the Christian life, this battle exists for us. And it continues in life. And the reality is, though, is that the older we get and the more responsibility that we have, the harder this battle gets because the attacks of the enemy become more fierce. So understand, going forward, young men and other young men here tonight, the battle doesn't get any easier from here on out. You can be assured that the battle will intensify the more you are exposed to the world, the more you are out in the world. Maybe you know that already. You probably do. If some of you have just started college or you've started maybe working full time at a job, especially one where you don't have an employer or fellow employees who go to the same church and so on, you've been exposed to new things already. It's more and more common in the universities and in the workplace that you're exposed to the sin of homosexuality. Invites come to join fellow workers, maybe at parties. Later that will come, that you have invites to the bar. There will be more opportunities to view pornography and to live out sexual lusts. You will hear words that maybe you haven't heard so much before, because somewhat you were sheltered with the people that you had around you. You have invites to go to concerts and to the movies and the other places of this world. And how are you going to respond to those requests? And how will you respond the more you are having exposure to the things of this world? Well, you can be assured, men, young men, you've received training for this contest. You're equipped for it. You receive the specific training of what your parents have given you in the home, where they've taught you and instructed you in the truth of the Word of God. You receive training in the Christian school. You've received training in the catechism classes. You have a solid foundation. You have a strong weapon to use in this battle. It's the Word of God. So you don't go forth in your own strength. And don't be discouraged that the battle gets more intense for you. We have strength. Our strength is not found in ourselves. Our strength is found in the God whom we confess. We trust in the living God. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the battle is hard and difficult. That's why the men of the church need the Word. They need to be in the Word themselves. They need to be in Bible study with others. They need to be under the preaching of the gospel in the church. They need to be with good friends who will encourage them in truth and in godliness. But now, understanding this about the battle, here's the way the battle is carried out in life. Here we get to the fleeing and the pursuing. We know that fighting the good fight of faith includes fleeing and pursuing because of what we read in the previous verse. And the first part we read there is that there's a fleeing that takes place. Now, that's striking. That's not what we normally associate with battle. But in the spiritual battle, it's part of it, because it is a spiritual battle. We read in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." What are these things that the man of God is to flee? Well, the man of God is to flee love for money. Love for money. A man, a young man in the church, an older man in the church, must not set his heart upon money. He must not love money. He must not go to work for money. He must not do everything that he does to preserve money and his bank accounts, because that leads to all kinds of sin. That's not the only thing we are to flee from. If you go into context, we see that we are to flee from pride, from envy, from fighting. We are to flee from all of the things of this world. To speak to the young men tonight, especially this. Be aware of this, young men. Flee sexual lusts. We live in a world that has your heart targeted to turn you over to sexual lust. And really, there's no way to escape it. It's on the billboards. It's in the magazines. It's on the television. You can't watch a ball game without a beer commercial with women who are hardly dressed. That's part of the attack of the enemy upon you, and to get a hold of your soul. So flee sexual lust. Flee sexual lust in dating relationships. Flee sexual lust when you're online. Flee sexual lust when you're watching television or watching a sporting event and you see those things. Flee sexual lust when you see women who are dressed immodestly and the temptation is to sneak a peek. Flee those things. There are ways in which we do that. Some of the ways should be that we should be very careful in what it is that we watch, what it is that we take in. It even has to do with commercials. Commercials are all about getting you to buy something and getting you to buy it by you thinking that you cannot live without it. You can't live without that car, or you can't live without that beer, whatever it may be. The world is saying to you, this is what it means to be a man. It means to drive this kind of car. What it means to be a man, the world says, is if you have a beer in your hand. That's what it means to be a man. Or it means to be a man that you have beautiful women around you and that you lust after beautiful women and that you focus on that and you give in to your sexual lusts and desires. We must flee those things. Turn the television off. Put the movies away. Get rid of that music that is not pure in what it says to you. Even turn off the commercials. Don't watch those things. Flee from those sources that tempt. It's my conviction that every young man who has his own computer, every young man and every man who has his own computer ought to have something on it that blocks sexual content so that there's no mistakes. Not an innocent search that results in something before my eyes that I don't want to see. That's part of fighting the good fight of faith, fleeing these things. The positive is that we're to pursue something. If we're running from something, we're fleeing from something. The opposite of that is we're to pursue. That's verse 11 as well. And follow after, pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Pursuing these things means living in these things, living in this way, living a life that's consistent with your confession. I believe in God, therefore I worship God, and therefore I worship God in the way in which I live. And the way in which I live is a life that's focused on obedience, life that's focused on devotion to God, loving God. The idea here in the text is that fighting the good fight of faith is a life that matches what you confess. As men, we confess from the depths of our hearts, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I know He died for my sins. He's my Savior and He's my Lord. And therefore, I live to serve Him. That's fighting the good fight of faith, living to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the life of putting on the new man in Christ, putting on godliness and holiness in life, and learning that. Learning it. Men, we're learning it. That means as we're learning that, we see sins in our lives, we see things we're doing we shouldn't be doing, and we learn to say no. We learn to say no. We learn to flee. But part of that is we learn to pursue the right things. That's what the Word of God is calling us to do, to pursue the right things. It's a good thing if the young men of the church don't know what it is to have a buzz from drinking or drugs. It's a good thing in the Church of Jesus Christ when young men are sexually pure. It's a good thing in the church when young men confess their love for Jesus Christ, not only here among friends, but they do it out there too and say, that's why I won't do that. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. That's fighting the good fight of faith. There's powerful encouragement in the passage for this fight. You find that powerful encouragement, first of all, at the end of verse 12, when Paul points Timothy back to his profession of faith. He says, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul is reminding Timothy of that time when he made confession of his faith in the church. And with Timothy, we've heard tonight young men who have confessed their faith. And there are many of us here who have confessed our faith in a church of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to confess or profess? It means to say the same thing. That's really what a confession is. Very simple. To say the same thing. It's not just that you've said the same thing as others who have gone before. It's not just that four young men here have confessed the same things themselves. But what they have done is they have confessed the same thing as what God says in His Word. They've confessed the same thing as what God Himself says about Himself and about Jesus Christ and about salvation, about the covenant, and about the godly life. We've heard a good confession where young men have confessed that they know God and they love Him. That they know Jesus Christ and they love Him. They know that God is sovereign over their lives. They know that God is a covenant God and they know what that means. And they know that they have a living relationship with God in Jesus Christ. They know and believe who Jesus Christ is. He is the only begotten Son of God, the Son of God, and also very man. They've confessed that He's died for their sins. And they confess that they cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. Part of their confession as well, their good confession, is that they will live a life that is consistent with that. They said tonight, we will live a new and godly life. And we will reject all heresies that are opposed to the truth of the Word of God. They're saying that they will trust in God alone for all that they need. That they will live a life of gratitude and obedience and holiness and godliness. That confession that these young men have made, and tonight, on this very night, that serves as an encouragement to them, and it serves as an encouragement to all of us, just as the moment of Timothy's confession of faith served as an encouragement for him at this time in his life when Paul brought it up to him. And what we hear tonight, as we are engaged in this battle, is that the captain of our salvation speaks to us, and he gives to us good spiritual encouragement to fight the good fight of faith. And this encouragement is found essentially in three things. The first is, understand that such a confession that is made is not detached from life. But instead, the confession that is made tonight by these young men, just as the confession that Timothy made, that confession is a faithful guide for all of life. The confession is not just a mind thing. It's not just what I know. But instead, what it is that we know and believe speaks to us about how we are to live. And that's the important truth of this passage. Confession is not detached from life. We like to do that. Everyone here, in a certain aspect of life, including myself, has detached the truth of God from life. Have you ever been worried? So you couldn't sleep, or you tossed and turned, or your stomach was all tied up in knots? Why? Because your life at that moment was detached from the truth of the Word of God, that God is sovereign over that particular situation. There are all of those kinds of moments in our lives. The encouragement we receive here from the Apostle Paul and from the Word of God is our confession is never detached from life. This confession we've made is a faithful guide in all of life. Secondly, understand that you're not alone in this confession. Paul says this for a reason. He doesn't say and has professed a good profession, period. But he says professed a good profession before many witnesses. Why does Paul call attention to that? That there are many witnesses of Timothy's confession of faith. Well, because what that meant for Timothy is that there are those who will hold him accountable for that confession. And they will help him to live that confession in his life. And the Apostle Paul is doing that right here in the text. That's part of the beauty, young men, of making your confession publicly before the church. You're saying, too, that you want the church to hold you accountable. And that we together will hold one another accountable. We've confessed our faith. We've said certain things in that confession. We help each other. We hold each other accountable for that confession. That says to us tonight, we're not in this battle alone. Maybe sometimes it feels like we are. We're not. That's part of being part of the church. That's part of the communion of the saints, so that we encourage one another in this battle. Do we talk about that enough? Are we working to know one another well enough in this battle so that we can truly help one another? Are we helping each other? Are we surrounding ourselves with friends who will help us in this spiritual battle? That's part of it. That's the encouragement here. There are others that are with us. And third is this. What's the source of this good confession? Where did this good confession come from? Well, a true confession of faith is the gift of God's grace. These young men who confessed their faith before the elders and do it tonight, they were given the words to speak by God Himself. And it's the result of God's gracious work in their hearts and in their lives. Now the encouragement is this. Because God worked that in them, because God has worked that in all of us who have confessed our faith, this is a work of God's grace in our hearts and in our lives, we can be assured that this God who is gracious to us will continue to go with us and give us strength for this battle. He will provide everything that we need. Remember the enemy. Blow after blow after blow He gives to us. And the only way we can absorb those blows and not fall down flat and falter in our Christian life is because of God's grace. He equips, He strengthens for this battle. He does that through the Word. He does that through prayer. But God is the one who gives that strength. The text also gives powerful encouragement to us tonight when we read this. When the text says, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called. That's part of fighting the good fight of faith. Keeping in mind, laying hold on eternal life. That eternal life that is ours. But there's an encouragement to be found in those words as well. When the text speaks of that eternal life to which we are called, it's not simply setting forth before us a future reality. It's not saying, well, in the future sometime you'll have this everlasting life. What Paul reminds Timothy of here is this everlasting life is yours now. And this everlasting life is ours now. Paul and Timothy, they were called to this everlasting life. They were called to that by the saving call of the gospel. We know when Paul was. He was called to that on the road to Damascus. Timothy was called on the first missionary journey through the instrument of Paul's preaching. And the result of that work of God, that saving call, so that Timothy heard the preaching and believed the preaching, the result of that was the good profession that he made before many witnesses. And Paul is reminding Timothy, you've been called to this and this is yours. That's true for us too. Young men, that's true for you. You've been called to everlasting life. We've talked about that in our series on Philippians, haven't we? Keeping our eyes on the prize of everlasting life. Now we are reminded again tonight of that prize that is ours for Jesus' sake. He paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That's the only reason that we have this prize of heavenly life. Everlasting life is heavenly glory. It's life with Jesus Christ forever, without sin. It's a life of fellowship and friendship with our God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's beautiful, amazing fellowship that we only have a taste of here on this earth. But now the idea of the passage here is this. Because this everlasting life is ours, this is what makes a difference in the way that we live right now. Heaven makes a difference for us right now. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy here. We have everlasting life. That makes a difference for how we live. We lay hold on that. We believe that. And we have the assurance that that everlasting life is coming. And knowing that, that influences the way that I live right now. When we're thinking on heaven, that changes the way that we live right now. Having everlasting life radically changes us. It has to. We can't remain the same when we know we have everlasting life. That's quite something to read that here. Because Paul may have been closer to the end of his life, much closer than Timothy. Of course, Timothy is a young man. And yet Paul even says to this young man, don't forget everlasting life. You've been called unto it. That's the word of God to young men tonight. Don't forget. Don't forget, this world is not the end. It's not all about having fun. It's not doing what you want to do. But remember the end. The end of it all is heaven. And that makes a difference now. We have friendship and fellowship with God, not just in heaven, but right now. And we are to live as the friends of God. Young men, what are you laying hold on? Are you laying hold on heaven? That's what those who profess a good profession lay hold on. Not money. Not the things of this earth. Not sexual lust. But heaven. Is that most precious to you? Is that your goal? May we then be encouraged tonight, young men especially, but all of us as men, to fight the good fight of faith. This is part of what it means to be a godly man. Fleeing and pursuing. And now tonight we're encouraged to do that. May we leave here encouraged, strengthened by the Word, convicted that this is how we must live to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word, for the encouragement that it gives, especially to the men of the church and particularly to the young men of the church. And so we pray, Father, that we would have within the church today young men who are godly, young men who are not pursuing the things of this world, who love money, who love the partying, and who love all the sin that's found here below. But instead, may we have young men who lay hold on everlasting life, who love Jesus Christ, who love heaven, and who love to fight in this extremely difficult battle. Father, give us strength. Give strength to the men of the church that they would be godly, and in that way that they would be faithful leaders as well in the Church of Jesus Christ. All these things we pray, placing our confidence alone in Thee and the power of Thy grace. Amen.